You know, on last week's show, we had Gary Ellis come in and talked about the importance of our CSRs really understanding the brand experience, the wow experience, making sure they understand their role in the bigger picture, making sure they understand how important what they do and what they say on the phone really reflects on all of us and, you know, really either it builds to or takes away from the brand experience. This week, we're going to have Gary come back and we're going to talk about how do we get the CSRs in alignment, how do we get their behaviors in alignment with that brand experience. So joining us now, Mr. Gary Ellis.
So number one, implementation. First thing I want you to do is I want you to conduct a 360-degree review of yourself and your customer service with what we call an employee survey. You can go out on the Contractor University site. You can go into the HR section, human resources. Go in the best practice that says reviews, 360-degree review process is already there. It's the one I use. I give it to all my team members and I go, I don't care if you put your name on it or not, it doesn't matter. Want your feedback, want to know what we're doing right, want to know what we're doing wrong, what you perceive that we're doing wrong, don't care. Write it, tell me what's going on. I want reviewed on leadership, I want reviewed on what we're doing on customer service, I want what we're doing on employee relationships, benefits, all of it, I don't care. Give it to me, okay? Now, a lot of people are going to be very nervous about that idea, but that's the exact place that you need to start. Your focal point is in changing people's behavior patterns. You cannot change somebody's behavior pattern until you identify the idea that why they think what they think. It's not about money. It's not about training. It's about how did they arrive at what they think. So I can't tell you what you're thinking unless you tell me what you're thinking. 360-degree survey. Do it. Do it every single year. Get the feedback from your team members. Get the feedback from what's going on in your circle. If you are a one-man band, then you don't have to worry about this. But if you have two people, it's worth doing. If you have 10 people, clearly you need to do that. So a $1 million company that has three technicians, maybe a maintenance technician, probably a bookkeeper, maybe somebody in the office doing some payables, some receivables, maybe doing some customer service dispatch, business owner, and maybe an installation crew and a helper, you might have between 8 and 10 employees. You got to get their feedback, okay? They're going to tell you exactly what's going on, but the thing that we're going to attack is the change pattern here on the behaviors, meaning that they may think that they're doing it right for you, and they may believe in their heart of hearts that they are doing it right, and that's where their belief system and your belief system don't match. I want it done this way. You're going to do it this way. You think you're doing it really well. I'm unhappy with that, or the customer in the center is unhappy with that. And so sometimes we get feedback and sometimes we don't. So that business owner who took my phone call and yelled at me and hung up on me, he doesn't understand the first thing about customer service. He might think he does, but he was a hot-headed entrepreneurial business guy who was a technical guy who got by and built his business because he was the fastest guy to get to the garage door fix. But as he built his business, his transition from an entrepreneurial state to a managerial leadership state is in turmoil. And so what happens is he grew to his Peter principle. His customer service and brand experience practices grew to his level of technical competency. But his bedside manner sucks. So he is paying the price because he ran into a customer who has the capabilities to go out to the marketplace. And he didn't know who I was or what my capabilities were, but you never know who your customers are. You don't know if they're attorneys, you don't know if they're doctors, you don't know who they're connected to, but we're all connected 4.3 to everybody in the world now because of Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook. You can't afford the luxury of doing it any other way. Find out what's going on, adjust. Second, you gotta conduct some customer research. One of my favorite stories is of a company down in the Fort Myers area. And this young man has built a pretty impressive revenue stream for a business in a very short amount of time. And he tells the story that the first thing that he did before he opened up his business as an operating unit is he went out and he walked the neighborhoods and he asked about 100 different people that owned homes, just knocking on the door, "Hi, I'm Gary. I'm going to start up a heating and air conditioning company, air conditioning in this market. And I'd like to know what's important to you about why you would choose an air conditioning company. And he asked 100 customers. So he went to way more than 100 homes because some people are going to slam the door, but that didn't deter him. What he was doing was he was creating research for himself that created continuity on how he would go about selling, marketing, and what his brand promise would be in that marketplace. He went from zero to $27 million in 3 years. I don't know about you, but I've never accomplished anything like that. I've gone close to $10 million in a three-year period on a growth plan, and I thought that was pretty special. And to some degree, it is pretty special. On the other hand, I'm looking at that number right there and I'm thinking, that's a pretty amazing statistic. Okay? Now, he'd been on Blue Collar Millionaires, he's been out on CNBC. I mean, he's got a story that goes beyond just the principles of what we're talking about. But the first thing that he did was he walked around the neighborhoods and he asked the customers, what makes it important to you to choose an air conditioning company? What do you want? That is market research. Now, you can pay somebody to do that, or you can do it yourself, or you can pay third-party independent standards. You can look at the research that's out there. Personally, from my point of view, the customer research that we've done in the past with our focus groups has given us clarity and direction beyond anything that you can possibly imagine. Now, if you're a smaller business, you might want to join up in a network of organizations. ACCA has mixed groups. You can join other team members, other areas of the country. You guys can work together with your resources. EGIA, through its own research arm, we send out information and we do research that we send out then from feedback for contractors. But this is to the consumer. We do the same thing on the commercial side. Our commercial maintenance salespeople, they walk around, they ask people that are in the commercial business. If they say, well, we already got a provider, we say, well, okay, great, would you mind giving us about 30 seconds? Why did you choose your provider? What's important to you? What kind of things are you interested in? It's consultative sales process, high-gain questions that are creating a research that formulate why you might want to set up a brand experience that you have, okay? So that's why I have a lifetime repair guarantee on my service repairs at this point, parts and labor, if you stay in my club. The customer is insulated against that repair again because the customer said that was important. No overtime, same thing. 7 to 7, no overtime, okay? So these kinds of things are driven by the data that you get back from your customers. Third implementation, you need a benchmarking system in your company. You need to say, I need a certain number of service agreements, but I'm going to need a renewal rate. If your customers are not renewing at the rate that you believe is effective, which is 85%, then that means your price value relationship and your brand deliverable, in other words, your experience that you're delivering, isn't enough to cover up the sin of the price of what you're doing. So I've had people say, well, people have told me that the service agreement's too expensive. Okay. What that really is saying is that they don't believe that the money that they're giving you is giving them the value back for what they're giving you. If they were feeling that they got 10 times the value for the service agreement, then they would give you that money because they would say, this is a great deal. So the customer does not feel as if they've done well in the negotiation process. So when you are not renewing your service agreements, that is a clear indication that your brand experience, your technicians are not building a relationship with the customer. And that's the foundation of what you really are doing. You've heard me say in video one, our entire purpose is to build a customer relationship. It's not about selling them equipment or selling them service or selling them indoor air quality. It's about creating a relationship with the customer where there's trust. So if they have a particular problem, they're willing to listen to us and they'll buy things because they're informed and educated and they make a decision. But they're a client that's doing business with us on a repeat basis.